Welcome, everyone, to the 200th episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. So thank you, Nerd Imperium and Sexy Nerds, for getting us to episode 200. More importantly, thank us, your hosts of this podcast. I am Diz. I am your pop culture and sports nerd.
I am Ali, your classic nerd of the group.
And I'm V, your comic book and movie nerd.
Guys, I can't believe it's been 200 episodes.
It has been 200 episodes.
You guys haven't murdered me yet.
Not yet. There's been times where we have come close.
Is there like a reason why you haven't killed me?
Mostly because
you expect it. We need to make you feel safe first.
I think mostly because it would depress some of our family members.
That's true. But V, you don't have the same family members as me, so why haven't you killed me?
No, no, it's not like I care about them. It's just like I don't want to deal with the funeral stuff.
I know, but like, I'm not you. Fuck you. I'm a V. V doesn't have the same family members, so
V hasn't killed you because I've told him not to kill you.
Is this true?
Like, don't do it, V.
Yeah, he's saying no.
I'm like, V, don't do it.
The listeners can't see him, so he's saying no.
He's nodding his head.
No, he was shaking his head.
He's
no.
Nodding his head.
And he also gave me the universal sign of love.
No, he didn't. What is the universal sign of love?
The hearts, you know, like the Mario.
He definitely didn't heart. Do that. I've never seen V do that in my life.
And then he did the little whole American Sign Language.
And then he did the shocker.
Yeah, no, it's the American Sign Language. I mean, oh, I love that? You.
Okay. Yes. I thought that was the shocker.
This is the shocker. Okay, yeah, two in the pink, one in the stink.
Yeah. I know what it is. I know what the shocker is.
This is I love you. It's very different than this.
Is that I love you?
I don't think that's I love
you. That's what Jimmy Snooker, Superfly Snooker used to do.
Yeah, I love you.
This is Satan.
Wait, no, I'm pretty sure it's
I no, love that's Satan.
That's Satan.
This is Anteaters.
This is
Zot, Zot, Zot.
This is Too Sweetie.
That's Too Sweet. The Wolf Pack.
This is also the Anteaters at UCI. Zot, Zot.
Yeah,
Zot.
You know who did that? George W. Bush. Feel good about yourself now?
So does Lyndon B. Johnson.
Yeah, well, fuck him too.
The guy who signed the civil rights.
Well, they just made him do it. It's a white savior complex all over again.
Jesus.
Just wait, George W. Bush is part of the New World Order?
No, not
part
him.
Of NWO?
I'm talking about Lyndon B. Johnson.
Because it is our 200th episode, we should give out some type of prize.
Yeah, what do you fuckers want?
Let's give out a...
Another Popco Fun Doll?
Yeah, let's give a Popco Fun Doll.
Yeah, what's that? All right, you got to...
Tweet us.
We'll tweet us your favorite episode of the podcast.
Yeah, tweet us your favorite episode of the podcast or... send it in via Facebook and we'll put you into a drawing and we'll announce it in next week's podcast.
Yeah, bitches.
Who has won the Popco what?
Fun Doll.
Popco Fun Doll.
Pop Vinyl Doll.
Pop Vinyl Funko.
Yeah.
Funko is the brand.
Funko Pop Vinyl Doll.
Whatever the fuck it's called, you'll get one of those.
Yeah, you'll get one of those.
I don't have time to sit here and learn what you people are talking about.
What?
I learned a new word from hold on, I gotta tell you this one. This one I'm very impressed with this.
I like when you learn new words.
I love this was a very good one.
I didn't learn it.
It's not a word, it's a phrase.
What's the phrase?
Hold on, I'm bringing it up right now. Okay. You're supposed to, it's called hashtag shoot your shot. 2017.
What is that? I mean, like go after your girl?
And it means go after the person you like. You didn't shoot your shot.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Wayne Gretzky.
Oh,
Michael Scott.
Is that what this is? Anyways, so I learned shoot your shot over the weekend.
That's a good, it's a positive one.
It is a positive. Yeah. Thank you very much. I was very impressed.
And you learned that from Gina. She's the bad one.
She is my favorite person in the world because she keeps me up to date. All I have to do is just listen to Gina's Twitter or whatever she's
you
up
listen to.
To
a Twitter, you old
read
man.
Read her Twitter.
I'm listening to these tweets out here.
I use Twitter better than you do. So
they say that Donald Trump's doing really well. MAGA.
I'm better on Twitter than you are.
That's so true. You're a Twitstorian.
I'm a Twitstorian, yeah.
Are you part of that group?
I am part of it. It's actually part of my bio. Hashtag Twitstorians. Twitterstorians.
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 Yeah, no, I'm not
part of the Twitterstorians.
I'm not part of that elitist fucking organization.
It's a hashtag, Diz. Calm down.
It's a hashtag.
Hashtags do a lot.
Yeah, Black Lives Matter was a hashtag too, motherfucker. It's
not elitist.
They're not.
Twitterstorians. It's actually very useful for anyone who's interested in like history to check out that hashtag. Usually someone will put out like what their research is, what they're doing. It's really useful. Like if you need someone to look something up real quick.
Hashtag Twitterstorians. What does the people in Saudi Arabia like to eat?
No, they're not Quora.com with like AskJeeves.com.
Ask them the question.
Ask like Jeeves.
Like I went real back.
Holy shit!
I went back. I showed
AJ
my
age. Motherfucker.
But if you ask a historical question, like, oh, does anyone remember what the Battle of 19 whatever it was called? Or you say, hey, does anyone know where that document is located? Oh. They are usually really useful.
Twitter historians, who was the leader of the Greek army against the Trojans and the Trojan whore? Troj horse. Yes, that one, that battle.
There's
there.
An S there. Yeah. You
I meant to say Trojan. Trojan war.
They didn't. The Trojans didn't have the Trojan horse. The Greeks. Yeah,
I meant to say war, but I wanted to say whore at the same time.
Literally, you just said whore because your brain is hardwired.
I meant the war and horse. It's combined. It's whore.
Jesus, this.
My mind is working very strangely.
It doesn't work strangely. It's defective. Yeah. If like any, can you imagine if you were like if you were applying for a job or writing an essay and you're like, I meant to say horse and war and it came out whore. It's like your brain is actually
yeah. Dude, how were you in oral presentations in school?
I suck because I mess up words all the time. Like I mess up words, I mess up numbers. Like when I see them,
you get nervous, don't you?
I don't get nervous. It just the numbers and the words go.
No, don't you dare.
They do.
Don't you dare claim to have some type of learning difficulties. You don't. You're just an asshole.
How do you? Can you prove this?
I can prove this. We had you tested growing up.
No, we haven't.
Yes, we have. You no were fine.
Ever, no one's ever tested.
Yeah, we've tested you for everything. I double checked if you were lactose intolerant, and that was a lie.
You've never even like you. I moved to California. Like after I was almost an adult,
we know for a fact you don't have any learning That's difficulties.
True. That's true. DNA samples.
We did. We tested you. This is. Oh, are you going to claim to be dyslexic now too?
I'm not going to claim to be dyslexic, but I maybe have a mild form of it.
Oh, that is a lie. That is a thorough lie.
It's not a lie.
Okay, what you just did was not dyslexia. It's just the fact that you use the word whore so often that it's hardwired into your brain.
No, I like. I'll spell my name out and I'll put the in the last D. I'll turn it into a B on accident. Like it's just. It's weird. I'll be doing things
wrong. There's a word for you in Farsi. It's nozik norenji.
What? That means I'm a thin orange?
Yeah. Nozik norenji means thin orange in Farsi. And it references, basically it's the equivalent of hypochondriac. But it's it's not about literal medical conditions. It's about making excuses about everything.
Oh, like why you can't do stuff?
Yeah, I'm too delicate. It's like, it's basically saying you're too delicate.
It's I cannot do it. It's hard to read. Yeah.
So this is that. If he does it, I can't. Mangoes will kill me.
I'm allergic to mangoes, you fucking cunt.
Oh no, nuts. If I eat nuts, I'm not thing. These are all lies. He's got no allergies. He's got no learning disabilities. Clearly. He's just a wimp.
He's the peak of physical health.
A wimp. Yeah. A wimp.
My doctor didn't prescribe me an EpiPen because...
Doctor gave you an EpiPen because you asked for an EpiPen he wanted to make money.
Why would I ask for an EpiPen?
That's true. I have to agree with that. Yeah. The doctor's going to be making money. He didn't test you for shit.
They didn't...
I don't know any brown person allergic to mangoes. That's a lie. That's a flat out lie.
That's like a staple part of the diet.
It's a biological...
They poked me with needles.
Mango-filled needles?
They had the little things.
It's a lie. That's
how am I supposed to know? I'm not an allergist.
I've been sneaking mangoes into your food for years.
No, you haven't. You're lying cunt.
You're perfectly fine.
That mic cover's made out of mango.
Bullshit ass.
In fact, if you take it off, it's just one big mango. It's just a mango.
Fake ass British motherfucker.
For 3 years, no one's been hearing your voice. It's just a mango you've been speaking into. There's no mic there. It's a mango.
I wonder why people have noticed me.
You know, my name in the Rapa Nui language in Easter Island is Mango.
Oh, is it really?
No, I don't like you.
Because I walked around, I'm like, and then I introduced myself.
And they kept giving you mangoes?
I'm like, hey, my name is V. And like, oh, your name is Mango in our language. Well,
you know what Diz is in French?
Jizz?
No.
What is it? It
means 10.
Diz is not a French word, is it?
Diz means 10. Diz, 10. 10, 10, 10, 10. I'm a perfect 10. You're maybe like a 6. I'm You're a 7.5.
Please.
Please, I'm a mango.
He's a mango. Please. But I'm a 10. No. That's a perfect specimen.
You're 5'3", Diz. Like you're
5'9".
Like, don't give yourself airs that you have. You don't.
6'2", motherfucker.
10 of anything. In what world are you 6'2"?
In my world, all right.
Even in your world, you're not.
In my mind, I'm 7'8".
Okay,
actually,
maybe you do have a learning disability. Maybe you do because clearly there's a problem there. If you thought 5'3" equals...
I'm not 5'3", you 6'3". Fucking bald, fake British bastard whore.
This is fake British shit.
I don't know why you keep saying that.
Yeah. Because if you listen to prior podcasts, Ali would doing a British accent for
I still do it. It's not an old thing. It's just something that I do every once in a while.
You do phase into it occasionally.
Yeah, it's because I spoke with a British accent for 3 years of my life almost.
When?
2 years.
Bullshit.
It did. I'm calling bullshit. Visa evidence of this. I spoke with a British accent for 2 years to mess with a teacher.
It's fake.
And it stuck.
It's fake.
It's like, so now, and I do it when I'm usually when I'm being arrogant.
Yeah, because you're a piece of shit. Yeah. You know what's funny?
But I know certain pronunciations also, simply because I watch a lot of British TV and I happen to be in Britain frequently.
You know what happened
today? So certain
today?
Words I pronounce differently, but it's not a fake British accent. It's an asshole British accent.
You know what happens?
Because I'm being an asshole.
I read, so you know how Facebook has those memories thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I had that Facebook memory where Ali got into like an intellectual like cock measuring contest with another gentleman.
I don't remember this. I've never gotten in an art Facebook argument ever.
Get the fuck out of here.
Even like, I couldn't believe that one.
It's like your fucking life is a whole Facebook argument.
It really is. It's like, excuse me, sir. Actually, what you just said is wrong. So I got in a Facebook argument with the Starbucks guy the other night.
So I was going through the memories and I'm like reading all of Ali's like points again. And for whatever reason, I'm reading it in Ali's British fake accent. British accent. I'm like, God damn it. Actually, good sir, the Islamic religion says that women can actually own land, which is something that was done before the Europeans. So, ha-ha, poo-poo on your point.
I don't think I've ever said, ha-ha, poo-poo on your point. That's not a, that's not a valid argument.
But in my mind.
You piece of shit.
That's what you said after you typed it. I've never said that in your own head. Ha-ha, poo-poo.
See, now, I don't think you should be putting those words in Ali's mouth.
Yeah, you should.
You know, because if someone runs someone's mouth, it could really screw people.
What do you mean?
Have you heard what happened with our boy PewDiePie?
PewDiePie. That dude?
What happened?
His name's Felix.
Felix?
That's his name.
Okay, well, if you don't know PewDiePie, he's like the biggest YouTuber in the world.
His real name is Felix.
Yeah, and his claim to fame is screaming to a microphone on camera on YouTube and having a bunch of 12-year-olds fall in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
But now he makes millions of dollars, for doing it.
That's insane.
Apparently, though, it's like he got into some hot water because, you ever heard of Fiverr.com?
No, is it like a porn site?
No. Oh, it's like a website where basically the price starts at $5. You can pay people to do different services. So like if you want someone to proofread something or like record a voiceover or make a track for you or like do like a YouTube end screen or something, you could pay someone and the prices start at $5.
Okay.
He had paid some guys who weren't from the United States to hold up a sign that said something like death to the Jews. It was a hardline anti-Semitic message and he'd pay these people to put it up.
He paid them $5 to do it?
Yeah, paid $5 to do it. And now people are really pissed at him.
How'd they catch him?
Yeah.
How'd they catch him?
Because he had it on his, it wasn't like, he was showing it. Like, it was, his whole life is one giant recording.
So he thought it would be funny to pay some.
But the thing is, though,
that's
for
the Jews.
It wasn't even one thing. It was like, when people saw that, they started kind of going back throughout his stuff. And they've been like, he's been ramping up this weird, like, he's been doing a lot of anti-Semitic stuff.
For years?
Over time, yeah. Uh-huh. So now it's like he's finally catching a bunch of shit for it.
That should happen to, like, former NXT wrestler Zara Schreiber. So, like...
Oh, yeah, with all the Nazi paraphernalia.
Yeah, so, like, they went back on her Instagram, right? So that's, like, one of the fucking weird things about being famous is, like, I would... As much as I would love to be famous, I would hate to be famous because if people go back and, like, fucking look through, like, my tweets and, like, my Facebook posts and shit...
No, look through the shit you do now.
Yeah, just that. Like, look through anything that I do. Like, I'd get in so much shit, but, like, for dumb reasons. But this girl had, like, Nazi paraphernalia all over. She had a fucking My Little Pony,
in a swastika. Yeah.
And she was, like, hailing Hitler. And then her excuse was, I just like World War II.
Yeah, like, but... No, World War II had nothing to do with My Little Pony.
Yeah, girl, why you got a little Hitler My Little Pony wearing a swastika? Come on,
she
girl.
She was all up in Seth Rollins, all up inside of her.
Whoa, you took it too far.
What did he say?
Because she said she was in the World War II, right? And then he mentioned how her boyfriend was all up inside of her, or her ex-boyfriend. V, goddamn it, man.
You've been a habitual line crosser yourself recently.
Like it's usually it's me and it's like expected when I say something like you know like that, but I don't expect it coming. Like you give me like flabbergasted. You get me flabbergasted.
What did he just say?
Yeah,
it's not. You can't. Yeah. It's not flatulence. Like
what was that?
What were you? Saying?
I meant to say you get me flabbergasted.
You give me flabbergasting.
Yeah.
He sounds horrible.
Give me flabbergasting.
Sometimes I don't think before I speak. Well, all the time I don't think before I speak. And I wanted to say...
you gave me...
No.
You make me flabbergasted?
No, God damn it. You give me a run for my money. But then I was like, I want
to
say
now you're deliberately trying to, you're just trying to make it seem like your brain gets...
It's twisted.
Yeah.
Twisted, upside down, all fucking jacked up on Mountain Dew and energy drinks.
What?
This is the story of my life, bro.
You drink Mountain Dew and energy drinks?
No. Energy drinks.
I should say that Felix has had a long history of getting in trouble for pushing the boundaries of things.
Yeah, he really
has as a result. Now, interestingly enough, though, this was the line too far, right? Like, he got dropped by Disney. YouTube is pushing back on him. Sponsors are pushing back on him. Now, I doubt that he's actually anti-Semitic. I don't think he's actually ever said anything fully anti-Semitic.
He's a foreigner.
But
he does
toe the line. I think he's Norwegian or Swedish or some shit like that.
He's like a Nordic. He looks like
he's Nordic, but he lives in England.
I don't know what specifically.
They're all the same anyway.
Wow.
He's Scandinavian.
You can't be racist against Europeans. Don't fucking at me. You can't be racist against Europeans unless they're like dark-skinned Europeans. Then it's racism. Wait,
what exactly is a dark-skinned European?
I don't know. Like
European that's been out in the sun for a while?
I don't know. Is there like darker-skinned Europeans? Maybe some Portuguese or Spaniards that migrated from the African nations.
You know
what?
The depth of your ignorance sometimes astounds even
Morocco's me. Close to Portugal. I know this because V traveled there.
Your ignorance astounds even me.
How is that ignorant?
I have seen the depths and horrors of our education system, and you astound me.
How so?
You are a prime example of the failure of public education.
You can't be a dark-skinned European.
Like, I need to keep you away from Betsy DeVos because you'd become her poster boy for charter schools. Like, send your kids to charter school. They end up like this.
God damn it.
Literally put your ass off on a poster board, you stupid piece of shit. You say the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life.
You can't be racist towards light-skinned
You're the smartest dumbass I've ever seen in my life. You say smart things, and then you say certain things, and I'm just like, we should do a post-utero abortion on this child.
That's mean, man.
Wow.
Why would you? I'm not a child. I'm a grown man.
That's what I'm saying. 20-year post-utero abortion.
I'm 27.
You should have done it at 20.
Wow, dude.
First indications
line,
that there was
a line stepping on the 200th
episode. Yeah, you guys first
indication that there was no hope for you.
God.
It was not going. At 20 years old, we should have known it's not going. It's then going, you know, nowhere but down.
This is an investment we don't want to be a part of anymore.
Failed potential.
This is not a worthy investment. Let's pull out.
Whoa, hey, come on, man.
I didn't mean
too
it
far.
Like that.
Yeah, that was like
a bitch.
That was a legit unintended pun.
It's like Shark Tank, right? Like, I'm out.
I'm out.
Asshole.
I'm not investing in this guy anymore.
Fuck you guys.
Post-utero abortions.
All right, man. Fuck you guys. Go back to talking about PewDiePie. Leave me alone.
Ultra late term.
Speaking of post-utero abortion. I'm just kidding. I don't mean that about PewDiePie. Or do
you.
I?
I hate you.
He is the most popular YouTuber, though.
There's
a reality is like...
It's because he's white. People
you
like
can,
white people.
You can pull sponsors and whatnot. It's not going to...
He'll still make money, dude.
Yeah. But here's the thing. He himself is kind of mortified, like, because he didn't intend it to be anti-Semitic. What he was trying to do is prove that you could pay people to do anything. The little Indian kids that held up the sign for him, right, say that they didn't even know what it meant, right? So his point was like, you could pay people on the internet to do anything for you. That's what he was going for. And he was actually quite shocked that people did it, right? Because it was a reaction video. He put it up on his reaction video. He was like, oh my God, I can't believe they did it.
Did they delete it after?
But now he's become like this weird like figure of the alt-right.
Again?
He's become an alt-right figure.
How is...
Because he did it. He's like, he's standing up for free speech and the snowflake liberals are trying to bring him down.
I get so annoyed when people like call people snowflake liberals when they're like, oh, Black Lives Matter, and you guys are all snowflake liberals. Like, no, motherfucker. Well, if Martin Luther King was alive, he wouldn't stand for this. Listen, you stupid son of a bitch. When Martin Luther King was alive, the same people that are saying the same shit about Colin Kaepernick and the Black Lives Matter people were saying the same shit about fucking Martin Luther King.
Okay, first of all, that was a point that I made that you just stole. Hashtag copyright.
Fuck you.
Second of all.
When did you say this?
I've said it on the podcast multiple times.
That was a hell of a tangent to go on.
That was
too.
A really big tangent.
I just got angry. I read an article about it.
People who talk about PC culture and people who talk about outrage and snowflakes, right? It's often quite indicative, right? The people, because there's people on the left, they get outraged over things like injustice and inequality. People on the right get outraged that they can't say racist things because people will call them racists. So that's where the argument is when it comes to PC culture.
I'm sorry. It seems like a lot of the time, doesn't
it? It is what it is, right?
I don't want to be called out for being an asshole.
Have I triggered you because I used the N-word? Yeah, you did trigger me because you used the N-word.
Yeah, you dumb.
Right?
Fucking prick.
There's a difference. There's a difference. One group is really outraged about good, like, because we want equality, we want justice. We're like, that's offensive because you're racist. And the other side gets angry because they don't want to be called racist. So one side is protecting equality, the other side is protecting their right to bigotry.
It's free speech, motherfucker.
Free speech, my ass.
God, I hate that. I hate it. Like, when, like, this free speech bullshit. So they literally made him, like, a champion of the alt-right. Is he, like, okay with that?
I think
he's not.
Yeah, but they just kind of co-opt whatever they want and they turn it into anything, really. It's like, technically, the Pepe the Frog thing wasn't an alt-right thing. It just, he kind of got adopted into the lexicon.
Yeah, it's considered like an anti-Semitic.
You can get get appropriated into these movements. You don't have to actually seek it out.
See, like, to me, Pepe the Frog always has and always will be Sog. Like, that's Sog. Sog is Pepe the Frog.
Who the hell is Sog?
My cousin Sog.
Oh, I know him.
Yeah, he's Pepe the Frog. He's got big lips. You know, he's always sad. Sog. Sog is Pepe the Frog.
That meme had been around for a long time because that's the one where he's putting the fork into the
toaster
outlet, right? Yeah, or the toaster, so whatever.
We would always like post a picture, right, and like send it to each other, and then we'd say something and we'd do it in our Sog voice. I hate you guys. I'm going to kill myself now.
Wow.
You know, someday he's going to listen to this podcast and he's going to shoot you.
Probably, but whatever. He's Pepe the Sog.
Wow. Jeez.
You're so stupid.
Sorry.
I stand by my earlier remarks.
Yeah. I love you, man. you're just Pepe.
What I think is crazy is that you saw this with PewDiePie. It's like, yeah, he was technically doing an experiment saying that anyone would do anything for money.
Mm-hmm.
But he brought up a really interesting idea because, I mean, people are attaching a lot of stuff to him because of this video, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, I'm thinking, it's like how fragile someone's status can really be when it comes to being in the spotlight like that. You know, I mean, remember when we were in high school, Howard Dean?
Yeah,
fucked him up.
We've talked about this, yeah.
Yeah, we fucked him. Yeah, but like it didn't take much for the downfall, right? But it also doesn't take much for you to go to rise. There's that girl on Dr. Phil who's real big right now.
Cash Me Outside. How about that?
Yeah, you know, she's doing well for herself. Apparently,
she's 13 years old and she has a iTunes top 20 single. She was featured in a rap video. She's like blowing up on Instagram. She's like 6 million followers, all because of some stupid video of her saying, "Cash me outside, how about that?" You know what pisses me off about that too is, like, I don't know if you've mentioned this before, I don't know if you've talked about this on the podcast, but
oh man, watch out of English in your voice right there. Listen, that was a little attitude right
there. This genuinely pisses me off, the idea that she could get famous for saying things like that, right? And it's funny and it's okay because she's a little white girl, right? If a little black girl said the same thing, right, she wouldn't be famous. She wouldn't be a fucking meme. She wouldn't be a millionaire off of it or making money off of it. She'd be considered like, see, this is what happens. That's a Black Lives Matter child right there. She's calling the audience hoes. They're trying to fight people. That's how black people raise their kids. The idea of race.
So that the girl, what you're saying is a white girl talking that is not representative of everyone who's white.
Correct.
We don't go, oh, look at all those ignorant white hillbilly trash people.
Exactly. Right. But if it's a little black girl that does it, it's like considered like this is how every black girl talks.
I firmly believe that the four horsemen of the apocalypse are the Cash Me Outside girl, Harambe, Damn Daniel, and Salt Bae.
And they're all white.
They're all
except Harambe.
No, what is that? Salt Bae is Turkish.
Yeah.
These are the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
What about the guy who's doing the little like pointing to his head like you can't get an F if you don't take the class, right? Like,
that one's just funny.
Yeah, I love that one.
The other four are in my humble opinion, because I don't quite get them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I understand that one. It's almost like the Velociraptor.
Velociraptor, yeah.
I'm okay with that, right? It's like, it's funny, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get the Cash Me Outside. It's like, why did that become a meme, right?
Because
I don't get it, right? I don't get the Harambe thing. I still like, I get it. It's funny.
He was our Lord and Savior.
I sometimes talk about Harambe, but like, no one can ever explain why dicks for Harambe,
you know,
dicks out for Harambe, or Harambe died for our sins. Why that's become a thing, right? No one explains that to me.
I know that you're
the
a
damn
scholar.
Daniel one is another one. I'm like, well, it's a kid saying damn Daniel because the guy wears bands.
Because the kicks.
Yeah. And Salt Bay. It's just, he's over dramatic about salting meat.
And yeah, but
salting his forearm.
I know you're.
Do you like some forearm with that meat?
I know you're a scholar of religion, but I'm gonna teach you something. Okay, go. Jesus H. Christ. The H stands for Harambe.
See, that's what I'm saying.
It's our Lord and Savior.
No one can explain Harambe. No one has ever been able to.
Tied for our
people
sins.
People go, oh yeah, Harambe. It's funny, and I'm like, okay, but why? It's Harambe. It's like to me speaks to the utter stupidity sheep culture that we have. We all go, yeah, Harambe is funny, but no one goes, why is it funny?
Because he's a gorilla.
And no one can explain it. No one can explain it, but we all just collectively agree that it's funny. The reality is Harambe's never been funny. There's nothing funny about Harambe. It's just a gorilla that got shot.
You've quoted Harambe.
But I have. I use it in class because a bunch of my kids, they're kids. They laugh. They go, oh, fucking I'm 21 and that's all I know.
Have you told any of your students to cast you outside? How about that?
No, I've never used that.
Like, never. I'm just waiting for one for later.
Save that one.
Have you cut out your face and put you over Salt Bay passing out A's and Ali's keys to success, and you have A's flying out of your
I've never done
that. Right, I'm going on.
Anyone who photoshops me on any of these things, you will face of oblivion.
If you can photoshop Ali's face like on one of these like memes, I will send you a special gift.
I will destroy you.
Tweet it to us.
I will unleash the unholy wrath.
I will send you a special gift myself.
I will introduce you to the purity
that's nicer than these oblivion.
Don't you dare.
Wow.
Please.
Don't you dare.
I am hoping for it.
You better watch yourself.
I turn you into me.
But like, I have Illuminati that connections. Genuinely.
Illuminatus.
Am I wrong in like my like anger towards that?
You're
like,
wrong on a lot of things. You're wrong on,
you know, you're not wrong on that. It may have been inelegantly put, but you're not wrong.
But it's because that's my anger coming out.
I'm just saying. I don't understand these memes in any way, shape, or form. But it just goes to speak to the culture that we've kind of developed, this weird meme culture. And what becomes popular is unthinking. You know what it is? Memes have given us Trump. I'm going to say it.
I think so.
Our fascination with memes have given us Trump. You know why? Because a meme can be shared millions of times more than a news article can.
It's true.
Oh, yeah.
And that right there is at the heart of our failure as a society. Every time someone argues with me on Twitter, they're not giving me substantial arguments. They're not quoting
memes.
Experts. They quote me. I saw the other day there was a graphic image of dogs that had been injured somehow, right? And then some woman kept posting, Muslim men are raping dogs. And I'm like, where's your evidence for it? She just kept posting. I'm like, that's just a picture of an injured dog. Like, but she, and it was retweeted 100,000 times, right? Yeah. She was talking about the Muslim dog rape epidemic.
Oh, what?
Like, it's just something she made up, but because it was a meme.
Brother, Muslims don't even like dogs. They make the house, the angels won't come.
On the right, on Twitter, it was, and the Twitter right was retweeting it left and right.
But they don't know.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, that becomes a fact versus a Washington Post article that talks about corruption in the Trump.
That's fake news.
Right? That's fake news.
Yeah.
Right, but this other one is.
I always think it's interesting because whenever I argue with people about anything, right?
No.
And I you know, somehow the meme thing never seems to show up because it's okay. It seems to be a credible source when you're arguing with someone on Facebook, but you can't when you're in person be like, "Well, the Willy Wonka told me so, so it's true."
Yeah.
Right. Also, it doesn't quite work in real language or real conversation.
Also, speaking of, because you mentioned fake news. None of the fake news media outlets reported that tragedy that happened in Sweden last week. And I just want to say that we will,
you know, the funny
our
thing
hearts
is
and prayers go out to the people in Sweden.
The InfoWars guy, the British one, whatever his name is. I forgot his actual
fake
name.
Fake-ass Alex Jones?
Not fake-ass Alex Jones. Alex Jones is like a little butt boy.
Oh, the lizard people are here. They're going to take our guns.
What's his name? I forgot his name. He goes by prison.
Pierce Morgan?
No, not Pierce Morgan. He goes by prison planet on Twitter. And He offered, he's like, I will give any one of you lefty journalists a trip to Sweden, see if you can survive. And all journalists were like, yeah, I'll take you up.
I was in Sweden 3 months ago. No.
Did you die?
Yeah, a little bit.
Did the Bowling Green Massacre people kill you in Sweden?
Listen, they had the candles out for the Bowling Green Massacre.
They stood in solidarity with
Bowling Green and Atlanta.
So we should stand in solidarity with them.
And then, you know, I was working at the Stockholm Comic Con out there.
Yeah.
And what had happened was I was trying to sell shirts and talk to people about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yep. When a dude wearing a turban and a scimitar came out and did a weird that undulation thing that they do.
Undulation? You're thinking undulation. Undulation is like it's a wave-like movement. So like your body,
we're doing a wave-like movement.
Your body can go through undulations. You don't make undulating noises. You make undulating noises.
They were undulating.
I didn't know what any of these words meant. But
he said undulation. Wait, what?
I didn't even know what scimitar meant. Who did you say scimitar?
Scimitar. It's a sword.
It's a sword. Curved
sword. I thought he said scimitar. I was like, oh, they came out.
Well, true, as kids, we used to say scimitar.
Yeah.
I thought they came out with like a little like hoof like animal creature human mix.
There's a centaur.
Oh, they sound the same.
Wow.
They do. Centaurs.
Anyway, they were ungulating or whatever it was.
Jesus Christ.
He went to college.
I'm surrounded by fucking troglodytes.
What does that mean?
I'm a Buddhist.
A fan of chocolate?
This podcast is becoming tedious. I will end both of you.
I'm only kidding. Freaking Stockholm was the safest place I've ever been to in my life.
Right?
Nicest people in the world. I couldn't believe it how nice these people were.
It was funny because this prison planning guy was putting up all these, like, again, just pictures with no citations. Like, look how dangerous it is. Everything else has fake news. And there's a guy from Sweden. He's like, that's not Sweden. The picture that he had posted happened to have been from Paris.
Oh, God. Oh, you see the Eiffel Tower in the background?
No, you could see the Eiffel Tower in the background. But, like, the guy who was from Sweden, like, yeah, that's not actually Sweden.
That's the Louvre, brother. You stupid ass.
You son of a bitch. Not all Paris.
Yeah, it's not Helsinki. I can't
Helsinki?
Helsinki's in Sweden,
but this
right?
This speaks to the kind of trolling, meme-like culture that has developed in replace of intellectualism. And I think nothing is more evidence of that than Milo. Milo Yiannopoulos, right?
Milo Yiannopoulos.
Yeah, Yiannos Yiannopoulos.
Yiannopoulos.
He is a perfect evidence
Milo
of like,
Yunus.
The moral and intellectual decay of the right. Because when you talk about conservatism, as you may disagree with it, but conservatism is actually a long intellectual tradition, right?
Yeah.
You look at people like look at Buckley and Buchanan. It's an intellectual tradition. It's a premise about the world.
Oh, James Buchanan.
Right?
I know him.
Pat Buchanan, for the love of God.
Oh, who's James Buchanan?
The president.
Wait, you didn't know who James Buchanan? For the love of God. What am I doing on this podcast? he thought he was calling you out, but he called himself out. For the love of God, I can't do this anymore.
I don't know who James Buchanan. I don't know who James Buchanan is.
He was a president. I think he's part of the Whig Party, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm so done with the both of you.
Willard Fillmore.
I am.
Isn't he that jerk who revealed all the magician secrets in the 90s?
Wait, I know Pat Buchanan as well.
Yes, of course you do.
He's a politician.
He's a politician. He ran in the 80s. He's what's called the paleoconservative movement, right?
Ah.
Very, very conservative, like super conservative.
He was like the Ralph Nader of the conservatives.
No, not at all.
No?
No. Ralph Nader was just a left-leaning politician.
I thought he was like super left.
Who, Pat Buchanan?
No, not Buchanan.
Ralph Nader? Yeah, he's kind of he's Green Party.
Yeah.
Ralph Nader, I mean, Pat Buchanan is not super right. He's just conservative. Like, there's certain positions that he's a little bit more libertarian in some instances.
Who do you run against?
He's a paleoconservative. He was he's pushed back quite frequently on people like Reagan, on Bush.
But he ran for president, no?
Yeah, he did run. He ran as a primary challenger. Like, he was the primary. He never won the nomination.
Did he run against W?
He ran against, not W, he ran against Pappy Bush, if I'm not mistaken.
And Dole?
I think it was Pappy Bush. I'm going to have to double check that because I don't remember. U.S. history is not my thing.
Yeah.
As long as, especially if it doesn't involve race.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't give a crap. white people, politics, whatever. But Pat Buchanan, right? So there's an intellectual tradition. There's a long intellectual tradition of conservatism. But Milo Yiannopoulos, right, comes along and he becomes the kind of face of the conservative movement, the new conservative movement, and that is this younger generation. So like I my university in particular, UCI, they've adopted this, right? They've invited him out to speak multiple times. And it fascinates me because he doesn't present a kind of any coherent worldview, right? Because conservatism, liberalism, progressivism, etc., they all are worldviews. They're a way of understanding the world. They're positions when you take. And the only position that Milo really takes is that we should try to offend people.
Yeah.
Right? There is no coherent worldview. There isn't. He doesn't argue for big government, small government. He doesn't argue for rights against rights. He's not pro big government versus state rights. Like, there's no policy position. It's just we should use offensive words. We should call gay people fags. We should call trans people trannies or confused men pretending to be women. Like that's what he said.
So like I was watching him on Bill Maher the other day, and like he was like, trans people just have a psychological disorder.
Right. But like, here's the thing. He doesn't have a policy position. He just
says things.
Says things and, like, to be offensive.
Larry Wilmore is like, you know, they were saying that about gay people originally, right? He's like, they literally.
Well, he believes that gay is a.
He also said, well, he's like, well, it could be a disorder. I feel like I have a disorder at times.
He believes that being gay is a choice.
Yeah.
Now he just says that for the sake of it. Joe Rogan actually called him out. He's like, okay, so why don't you quit the dick? And he's like, oh no, I don't want to quit the dick. Like, Joe Rogan's called his ass out a few times.
Joe Rogan got Alex Jones high on his podcast, by the way.
Did he really?
Yeah. Like he brings people on and he just like pestered him for like 2 hours and he got him high and was like pestering him about his shit. So what are you talking about lizard people for, man? Like, the hell you mean? Like, I like Joe Rogan when he does shit like that.
Yeah, that's actually kind of funny. He's a conspiracy theorist too. It's another one of those people that's like,
he's a pothead.
I'm not a fan of these conspiracy theories. We've gone to that place where like nothing is truth anymore, right? Truth just doesn't exist. You just make up your own shit.
Yeah.
And anyways, if Milo Yiannopoulos becomes the face of the conservative party, it means that we've now come to that point where substantive conversations are replaced by what? Memes, because the motherfucker's a walking meme.
It's true.
Right, he's a walking meme and a walking troll. He doesn't give you any intellectual arguments. He just insults you and then offends people. Like, for example, he went to one college and gave a speech. And basically, what he did is he would say really offensive things about trans people and immigrants. And then they had a camera with a gun trigger frame that would like zoom in on people and see, are you triggered? Are you triggered? And I'm going, that's not a policy position. That's not a substantive argument. That's not even making a case for free speech. That's just being a dick. And profiting off of that.
Yeah.
Right. And that to me, there's like not a direct line, but I think there is a connection to be made between reality TV versus TV, between meme versus substantive argument, and the rise of Donald Trump and this new right, this new conservative movement. It's this weird fascination. Celebrity, and I think it's part of it's rooted in the idea that celebrity culture is about what? Attention.
Yeah.
That's true.
Right? Celebrity culture is who can get the most attention. We don't reward the best actors.
Yeah.
The most famous actors in the world aren't the ones that are the most amazing actors. Wow. They're the ones that have the best marketing.
DiCaprio, Meryl Streep, they're regarded as the best actors.
I wouldn't consider DiCaprio the best actor. He's a good actor. He's certainly a good actor.
Of like our generation,
but if you think
though?
About it, a lot of really A-list actors aren't that talented.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of skilled actors actually are in theater.
Yeah.
Mostly
they're in the stage.
But yeah, like a lot of the people that are on the top of the A-list, it's like the difference between an actor and like a leading man, or like an actor and like a face, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like technically Robert Pattinson was a face for Twilight, but he didn't get the role because he was good at playing the vampire.
Edward Cullen, he got it because of his looks.
Right.
There was when I took my my film studies class, they brought up like who's an actor and basically like who's getting hired for their looks. So like we had to like make a list. So it's like Tom Hanks. He actually studied film at Cal State Fullerton.
Yeah.
So we put him in the actor category. Tom Cruise was just, he got hired because of his looks. You know, like, so like Ashton Kutcher hired for his looks. They didn't actually study acting. But like, whereas people like Willem Dafoe studied acting.
Willem Dafoe.
William H. Macy studied acting. You know, like.
Yeah.
You don't even have to study acting, but you have to be a good actor. Same thing with music, right? Like Take the career of someone like Miley Cyrus, right? When Miley Cyrus was just a singer, she had a particular threshold of fame. Mm-hmm. Miley Cyrus's great fame came from when she was a wild child. When she's walking around with nipple tassels and pasties. And when she was running into wrecking balls into things and grinding on...
But she's done a lot.
She is very skilled. I'm not saying she's not skilled. But we didn't acknowledge her skill when she was just a talented singer.
Yeah.
She became headline news when she became something more.
That's not necessarily true.
That is true. I mean...
She was still famous.
She was mildly famous. She was Disney Channel famous with some tunes on the radio. But she was not nearly the level that she was when she became controversial. It's like
when she brought the controversies when people...
That's when she became...
Because it went from being her being a Disney Channel star who sang... To some, the kids would like, but then now the adults are talking about how much they disapprove of
her. I will push back on your Miley Cyrus slightly and give you a better example, which would be Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga is also...
Lady Gaga, before she started donning all the weird stuff and doing all that, wasn't famous like that. Like
Lady Gaga was a songwriter before she was famous.
No, she was a, like, she was singing, but she was like a backup artist and stuff.
She was a songwriter.
She wrote her songs.
She was a lot of the song, the famous songs that we know about were actually written by Lady Gaga.
Are you sure you're not thinking of Sia?
No, it was Lady Gaga. Sia is also a songwriter.
Lady Gaga wrote a lot of songs.
Yeah, Lady Gaga wrote quite a bit of songs. Lady Gaga also did do singing, but more pub singing than she did until she created her characters.
Then she got...
Right? But Miley Cyrus is the same way. It's not whether it's controversy or some type of attention-getting element of it, right? Actors that don't do that can still become famous. I'm not saying that's the only way to become famous.
No,
or that the industry doesn't recognize talent at all.
True.
But it isn't talent-driven. It's star-driven. And that's the difference. And that's not just celebrity culture. That's society as a whole now, right?
It's true.
And when we are attention driven, right? This is the nature of capitalism when it enters into the culture. Right?
Here's your Marxism.
It is. It's a Marxism, right? When capitalism is part of culture, right? It's part of a culture industry.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's about producing what? As many artists who can make as much money as possible. And the only way to do that is to manufacture attention, right? Because it's all about marketing. But it's marketing.
It's not just artists. We manufacture fucking everyone to bring
money. I'm not saying art is unique to artists. I'm saying art is just one aspect of it.
Right.
That part, that culture has infiltrated our discourse, our dialogue. It's why people like Milo exist, right? Because we've now created a culture that rewards controversy.
And he finally...
Because attention, right? Attention. Another perfect example of this is actually Ann Coulter. If you look at who Ann Coulter... People forget... Like, Americans have really short-term memories.
Skeletor.
If you remember Ann Coulter from the 90s, she was just kind of an anti-Clinton right-wing talking head.
She was famous in the 80s, too. She was the bad guy in He-Man.
Wow. Well done there, son. Well done. If you remember her from the 90s... she really is just she was a talking head. She gave like kind of criticisms of Clinton, and she was mildly pro-conservative. Mm-hmm. There wasn't anything particularly controversial about her. She began during the Clinton scandal to emerge much more as more than what she was.
Yeah.
And in the 2000s, reinvented herself as this kind of
the
enemy of liberals. And she wrote this book called A Godless Liberal, right? Mm-hmm. Or it was called Godless, right? And she wrote all these sensationalized books. She realized that regular books that talked about the history of conservatism or presented a position didn't matter. What she did was she would talk about like immigrants committing crime, right? No real statistics to support her. In fact, Al Franken once jokingly referred to a game he plays that whenever he's waiting for his wife to get ready, he goes to an Ann Coulter book and he's like, let me see if I can find a lie by the time my wife comes down. And he flips
our truth, no?
A lie. He goes, a lie, right?
In her book?
Because it's so easy to do so. He goes, I randomly flip, I point to something, and then I go, okay, let me go look up that footnote. And then he looks up the footnote and he's like, it's literally a lie. She misquoted that person, right? So it's a game he plays. He goes, like if I have I have 5 minutes, let me see if I can look up one of her lies and prove it wrong, right? It's about proving it, not just finding it, right? So she realized that she could sell a lot of books that way. And that's why she's churning out a book every other year.
Yeah.
Right?
Helps when you don't actually write anything of substance.
All you have to do is write something, right? Yeah. Liberals are eating babies, right? All of a sudden you're selling
California cheeseburger. Right?
Same thing with Milo.
Juice boxes make kids gay.
You're able to churn out books and fame. And the thing with Milo is he went from, people forget who Milo was in 2014 and 13. If you looked up Milo Yiannopoulos, he worked as a tech reporter for Bloomberg.
Any relation to Mayor Bloomberg?
No. Yes. Anyways, what he did is he just reported on things like, was the new Apple product going to be good or not?
So he's just
a tech dude. If you go look him up, go look up his.
I'll do it after
his interview. Everyone who's listening to me, go look at his interviews from 2014 and 2013. You won't recognize him. He's just a kind of a frumpy dude with greasy hair, kind of an ill-fitted suit, and just a nerd. Mm-hmm. In fact, he had a lot of contempt for the gamer community.
Wait, don't call him a nerd, bro. Don't fucking disrespect us.
He's just kind of a dork. Okay, then Gamergate happened, and he took a position in Gamergate and realized that there was a lot of money to be made
by telling
really insecure people what they wanted to hear, and that is insecure people on the right. He found out that if you wanted to make lots of money, you tell conservatives what they want to hear. You tell them that Muslims are coming after them, and black people are inferior, and Mexicans are taking their jobs, and trans people are perverted. You tell them those things, and conservatives will throw money at you.
Yeah. Oh, I worked for Ann Coulter, I guess, right?
Right.
And Rush Limbaugh, Ann Coulter, any of these
Alex Jones
demagogues, right? Yeah, you know, I've seen that.
Some of them actually believe it, though. Here's the thing. Like, the Rush Limbaugh types do believe it. Whereas I think the Ann Coulter and the
Milo
kind, they may believe it, but they've exaggerated it dramatically. It's a persona that allows them to sell.
I think Tanya Lauren.
Tommy Lauren is another one. Have you guys seen her old Twitter account?
Yeah.
If you read her old, she's gone back and tried to delete them, but she's just like a normal college kid that has a crappy life, can't find a good job.
Incidentally, I don't even know if she actually believes that stuff. I think she's just reading from a teleprompter.
She is reading from a teleprompter.
Because it looks like
If you saw her on Bill Maher, yeah, she's completely collapsed. Yeah. Without a teleprompter, she's got nothing.
Yeah, she's if you say her name wrong, she gets like really offended. That's why I called her Tanya Lauren.
Whatever.
Is it Tommy? Tommy?
It's Tommy.
Tamai?
But the point Tamika. I'm trying to make kind of is that so long as there's a cultural orientation towards rewarding attention, right? Rewarding controversy with attention, we're going to have more Milo types. We just will. That's just, we're producing those figures because we reward them. The media rewarded Donald Trump with every controversy he had. They gave him more and more attention. He would say something absurd, and then they would have a 48-hour news cycle on some absurd thing he said, rather than focus on the simple question of, wait, does he even know where Iran is, right? Like, they couldn't do that. They couldn't focus on substance, so they focused on these kind of absurd. And that gave him attention. And that attention is swallowed up and then weaponized, right? You weaponize it, and they're able to kind of be successful. Now, we just found out that apparently there is a line.
Yeah, but right? I mean, you know.
So Milo was invited to Berkeley. There was riots and protests, and he got disinvited from Berkeley. Then he went on Bill Maher, and Bill Maher totally had they basically chummed up towards one another. Bill Maher proved once and for all that he may talk that he's a liberal and all that, but he's at the deep down a coward who apologizes for power.
Yeah, they both hate Muslims too.
Yeah, literally, like, rather than call out Milo on all of his bullshit, he just sat there and was like chummy with him. In fact, at one point, Milo talked about the trans bathroom issue, and he said, I just want to protect women and children from perverts. And Maher's response, rather than call his ass out on that, goes, oh, well, that's not unreasonable. Fuck you, Bill Maher. Fuck you.
Yeah.
It's because of those type of comments that right now Donald Trump signed an executive order stripping away the rights of trans students.
Claiming states' rights. Right.
So through states' rights. Now, I mean, you've got to be a really sick fucking government to say, you know, we need less student rights.
Yeah.
You've got to be really sadistic. Especially, and I tweeted out, I think this is any government that proves itself to be an enemy of vulnerable minority communities, there's a moral imperative to resist that government. A moral imperative. As an aside to that, though, is Milo, after he got invited to Bill Maher, he was then invited to CPAC, which is the big conservative political action committee. Huge, right? And this is where real Republicans and conservatives got pissed.
Uh-huh.
They got pissed. And they they resurfaced and trended an old video of his, these old during the Gamergate era, where he was went on to a bunch of these Gamergate podcasts with these fat, unwashed basement dwellers. And he defended...
pedophilia.
Well, to clarify, this is a semantic of mine. It's not pedophilia. It's a phoebophilia. There's
what's
a difference.
What's a phoebophilia?
Pedophilia is sexual desire for children. A phoebophilia is, or a phoebophile is a person who is sexually attracted to adolescents.
So like teenagers?
Teenagers. Okay, people who are pubescent. Like they have actual functioning sex organs.
Yeah.
Right? Like a pedophile is like an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old. A phoebophile is like a 14-year-old, a 16-year-old.
I never heard that
word. That's a phoebophile. There's a difference
between To Catch a Predator show? Those are actually not, they're not pedophiles. Phoebophiles. Yeah, they're not allowed to, they're not going to imitate an 8-year-old online.
But a 16-year-old girl or a 13-year-old girl, that's a feebophile. It's still gross. It's still twisted, right? But that it is. There is a distinct difference there.
Okay.
Right. And so he defended what we could call cross generational relationships. That is, older men preying specifically on younger men. Right. Mm-hmm. Younger boys, 13-year-olds. He talks about it. In fact, in a personal way, he talks about how he slept with his priest and he was the aggressor. And he thanks Father Michael for teaching him how to give a great blowjob. Right. That circulated, and so as a result, CPAC dropped him.
Okay, that's the line.
Right afterwards, CPAC didn't just drop him, but Simon & Schuster, his publishing company by which he was going to make big bucks, because all the controversy had shot his book to the top, dropped the publication of his book. The next day, there was a massive riot at Breitbart where a bunch of the editors said, "We will leave if you don't fire Milo." So Milo resigned. So he lost his book, his speaking gig, and his job within a 3-day period.
There is a God.
So there is a line, and that line for apparently for conservatives is you can talk shit about transgender people, you can incite violence against black people and minorities and Muslims and women and immigrants, you can be misogynistic, homophobic, transphobic, anti-immigrant, but
you can't
don't talk about having sex with young teens.
The sad reality, and this is what annoys me about this, is the fact that all he did was reinforce what they already believe
about gays
by doing this.
Yeah, he did.
Right?
By saying that, now they confirms what they already say about gay people. That's what he's saying.
Yeah. So, and that's the most fucked up thing of it all, because it's like they already, when the North Carolina bathroom issue came up a while ago, right?
Yeah.
They already talked about people being afraid that a man dressed as a woman can go into a woman's bathroom and sexually assault this
to
and
be
that.
Clear, the statistics shows that transgender individuals commit no, there's no reported instances of them committing any type of lewd act with children. There's also no indication that transgenderism in any way, shape, or form is indicative of some type of sexual perversion or is linked to anything like a phoebophilia, pedophilia, rape, assault at all. Yeah. In fact, the overwhelming majority of the statistics
are straight
white men.
Yeah. And that's the problem there, is because now they've attached this idea of sexual deviancy to homosexuality, right? And what Milo did was, this whole time he's enforcing what they're saying.
Yeah, he's
going, yes,
it.
There are sick people there's out sick there, people and they're there. Trannies, and they're this, and they're that, and all this other stuff. And he turns out to actually enforce those beliefs, right? The reality is, he was a mouthpiece for the alt-right, but truthfully, they used him, right? Because he could take them to a certain point that they needed him to.
Yeah.
Right? But I have no doubt in my mind that in the back of their heads, they're going, we're going to use this FAG here as long as we can until we can kick him to the curb and we can move on to something else.
In fact,
else,
the
right?
funny thing about it is like one of the big alt-right people, Richard Spencer, the white nationalist Nazi piece of shit, is completely anti-Milo. And now he's putting up videos that are anti-Milo, right? So for him, this was confirmation, right?
Yeah.
They milked it. They milked the troll as long as they could, trigger liberals. And now, fuck Milo. No, here's the reality of it. Just because he's against it doesn't mean that Milo is going to lose all his followers, right?
No.
Milo will still have a pretty strong, solid following. And that's a serious issue. That goes back to celebrity culture, right? In addition to Milo reinscribing the prejudices and hates on the right, what he's also done is he's demonstrated that you can, if you're a celebrity, you can get away with murder.
Like, people will be able to justify for you. We saw this with the YouTube stars with Jason V. One Eye. Yeah. Sam Pepper still has people who are his apologists, right? Yeah. What's even worse is now Chris Brown is in trouble again for being in an abusive relationship, for threatening to kill this girl and all this other stuff, right? She had to take a restraining order on him, and they're still trying to justify his behavior, right? Like, and that's the issue. It's like, it doesn't matter. I could think you're a talented singer or something else, right, and still think you're a piece of shit at the same time, right? You can't. But somehow people have managed to, this is the nature of celebrity culture, dude. They've somehow managed to kind of impart all their morality onto right. this like figure of a person mm-hmm. who isn't them at all yeah. in actuality, right? It's like what they're trying to aspire, like they're trying to worship this figure that just doesn't exist.
Well, it is at the end of its day a form of idolatry. It's a form of fascinating cult of personality.
Right? Yeah.
And it is cult-like in that you abdicate your capacity to think in a nuanced fashion about that person for blind worship.
Yeah.
Because you can, I mean, the fact that it took him making sexual comments about young people
uh-huh.
to finally drop this guy.
Yeah.
Like that's
is an indication of how far off the reservation we've gotten. It's also an indication that there he still has followers, that he has still got people defending the indefensible, right? Mm-hmm. It's no longer free speech. He then, what this tells us is less about the individual, less about Milo. We don't know Milo. What he could be saying could be an entirely a performance art for all we know, right? Yeah. He's an enabling piece of shit, obviously, right? And he yeah. empowers the worst, but we don't know him. What it tells us is about society. And that's really important, I think. The fact that we have figures like Milo tells us that something has gone wrong in the sociocultural, where we place our values, where we place our interest. The fact that we reward, right? That we reward controversy with attention, and attention equals money.
There's a...
Right?
There's
think of the... How did Tammy Lahren become a real thing?
Toni Lahren?
Whatever her name is.
Yeah.
Yeah, on The Blaze.
On The Blaze. How did she become popular, though?
By yelling at fucking black people. No.
What was the medium that made her popular?
Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The majority of her views are Facebook
views. Yeah, Facebook views, yeah.
Because she went what? Viral.
Yeah.
Right? The like and the click and the share. And that is a serious, serious issue. Because now, if Tammy Lahren is being shared more than Thomas Friedman, fuck Thomas Friedman for the record, and his dumbass mustache. Fuck his mustache times 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
But let's just for the benefit of the doubt, as much as I hate Thomas Friedman, he's a dumbass.
He's
a New York Times columnist.
Did he write a book?
He wrote a lot of
Why
books.
The Earth is Flat or some shit?
No, he didn't write that book. No, but he did write a book from, it's called From Beirut to Something.
Oh.
From Beirut to
who's the
Baghdad
one who wrote like the it's not like a flat earth book.
No, I don't know what you're talking about, but Friedman is a New York Times columnist. He's a kind of a left, he's kind of a Clintonian left. He's pro capitalism but pro social progress, and he writes about foreign affairs. He writes about the Middle East, and he's a political analyst.
From Beirut to Jerusalem.
Beirut to Jerusalem, that's the name of his book. From Beirut to Jerusalem. A good book, by the way. Completely
but
wrong.
Fuck that guy.
Completely wrong, but fuck that guy. He's also very pro invasion of Iraq. He's one of those guys that talks, he's this old kind of...
He wrote The World is Flat.
Did he write The World is Flat?
Yeah.
I never read that book.
He wrote that in 2005. It was a really big book.
I don't remember that. Anyways, Thomas Friedman. That's the guy. Fuck Thomas Friedman. But if his articles are being shared less than Tommy Lahren's video, that's a problem, right?
Yeah.
Or if Charles Blow, right, who's a brilliant, talks about race and politics, right? If his stuff is being shared less, right? This is indicative of something that's gone wrong in the conversation, something that's gone wrong in the site. Now, I'm not trying to be elitist in the sense that I'm saying only people who are intellectuals should be celebrated.
No.
We should celebrate cultural icons. We really should. But it tells us something that in this world, in our society, a failed tech blogger from Britain can become the leading face of the Conservative Party.
When they're able to go outside of the sphere of their own personal sphere of their field, and they're able to influence the sphere of someone like Thomas L. Friedman or historians or Noam Chomsky or somebody else, that therein lies the problem.
Here's the thing. Eric Bischoff said it best, and he wrote a book called Controversy Creates Cash.
Yeah, I know.
That's, so that's, you know.
But that's the root of capitalism running culture and society, right? Mm-hmm. Capitalism is just an economic system. Capitalism also produces our celebrities. It produces, yes.
Thank you, Carl.
Creates our football players, yeah. Right? Like, why are athletes celebrities, right? That's another interesting kind of.
We look at Disney. Anything system. Disney Channel has done within our lifetimes as children, right? Uh-huh. It's like every single Disney Channel star that was in a Disney Channel movie, Hilary Duff, whoever else, right? Miley Cyrus, for example. Mm-hmm. What did they do? They started off. They literally started off as a child with a show, right? But also Disney started pushing them into becoming musicians at the same time.
Yeah.
And they're also doing these things. And they're all beginning to pile on. But this is the same exact formula that almost every single Disney Channel star goes through, right?
Yeah,
and a couple of them hit and most of them don't.
Yeah.
But they literally put that formula in motion over and over again. And it's like it's a factory. No different from Simon Cowell and American Idol or any of these other things. It's a factory of creating faux culture.
Yeah. Right? I mean, it's actually, it is a factory. It's called the celebrity industry. It's what Adorno calls it and Horkheimer calls it. And it's true. It's through and through true. But the question is, how do you challenge something like that, right? So how do we change our political discourse in the era of Milo? We found out that apparently talking about pedophilia, phobophilia, whatever you want to call it, is the line. That's right,
lie.
But you still have the Ann Coulters, you still have the Tammy Lahrens, you still have Alex Jones, you still have the guy from Prison Planet, you still have this guy that was the guy on the Twitter, Mike Cernovich or whatever it is, Cernovich or whatever.
Oh, yeah, guy, yeah.
Yeah, guy, right, has zero credentials in politics.
Was he like a baseball player or something?
No, he's a nobody. He wrote a book on, he used to be from the dating world. He wrote a book on guys getting girls. He was kind of a loser. Who realized that he was too nice and that girls wanted alpha males, so now he pretends to be an alpha male.
Oh, that pickup artist guy.
And he they did this kind of fascinating expose on him, and he's like, he lives in like a really just normal Orange County home, but he claims to be like the head of a media empire. He always live streams from this beautiful lush pool. It turns out that it's actually his girlfriend's parents' house that he live streams from, right? But he wrote this book, I think it's called like Gorilla Some Shit or another, right? And then he became a politics talking head, right? And he gets things to trend on Twitter. Hillary's health. He was the guy behind Hillary's health, right?
Oh,
Hillary's health. He got it to trend. He was periscoping and whatnot. And at the end of the day, he has zero credentials, no expertise. He never sources anything that he talks about. But he's part of that same controversy culture, right? Controversy sells. If we continue to do that, right? Mm-hmm. If we continue to live in that type of society, then yeah, the future journalists, experts are the Milos and the Mikes of the world. And we lose any credence and any ability to talk about substantive matters. The problem is that the serious journalists and the serious actors and the serious producers of culture are also in the same boat. They're part of the same system. This fault is not just Milo. It's the New York Times running 6 front page articles because Hillary fainted, right? It's the Washington Post running 6 front page articles because Trump said something offensive but didn't cover the fact that he has foreign ties, government to foreign governments, that he has these corrupt business endeavors, etc., right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact that we have a scandal-driven industry. And so long as we have a scandal-driven industry, we will have scandal-produced celebrities that lead us down the rabbit hole. Right? That's what I think, in my humble and always right opinion.
An oxymoron.
No, it's not.
It is. My humble but always right opinion. It's an oxymoron.
It's a truth.
You bastard.
It's a truthism. I'm just saying that Milo may be gone, but there'll be other Milos in the future.
Yeah.
We've got a systemic problem.
Can we make Via like the left Milo?
He's got to be like outgoing, big personality. And he's kind of, he's mild. He's mild-mannered.
I'm mild. I'm not Milo.
Mild, not Milo. Well, we've had an interesting conversation. We talked about, I don't know what we talked about. What was this podcast about?
We talked
transgender rights, Milo being an idiot.
Yeah, we went more into PewDiePie, kind of like celebrities.
Celebrities.
Put their fucking in their mouth.
Cash Me Outside.
Celebrities, the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
Yeah.
And yeah, so let us know what you think. Have you been following along the Milo issue? Do you think that there's a serious problem with our media and celebrity culture? Yes, no, or do you think I'm full of shit and you love your Kardashian types?
Yeah, and you need to Photoshop Ali's picture on memes.
I will end the world.
You'll get a present from me
if you want to awaken Tiamat.
What?
Who?
That's Sumerian, isn't
Sumerian
it?
Sumerian god of chaos. He's the, or she is the dragon mother of the world.
Yeah. Cuneiform.
Doesn't she become the Tigris and Euphrates after Marduk?
Yeah, Marduk rips him apart and creates the world out of her.
She becomes the Tigris.
You read
and
that in cuneiform.
In cuneiform. Yeah. Very good.
I know things.
You're so stupid. Yeah, do not wake Tiamat. Do not waken the dragon. Yes. All right, Diz, why don't you take us out?
Look what happened to the tiger between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers.
Hammurabi.
Hammurabi, yeah.
He was from Babylon.
Harambe, that's where Harambe's from. He's Hammurabi's younger cousin.
Yes. You can catch us on Facebook, facebook.com/currentlynerdy. We're on Twitter, @currentlynerdy on Twitter. Instagram, we're @currentlynerdy on there as well. Tumblr, currentlynerdy.tumblr.com. We're on the YouTube. Search currentlynerdy on YouTube and you'll find us there. iTunes, clearly, we're on there. Rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us 5 stars, please. If you want to get a hold of us individually, you can. V, how can I get a hold of you?
Or you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at VTran214. That's VYTRAN214. You can also find me on my website at thesandwichslayer.com. Lee?
You can catch me on Twitter and on Instagram at AAOLOMI. I'm actually having all sorts of fun on Instagram, so go follow me there. And if you like politics, my Twitter is where I rant at politicians. Mostly I troll Mike Huckabee. Mm-hmm. That's really what
Mike
I use.
Huckabee.
It's like, I like, you wouldn't know Jesus if he sat next to you. That's usually like most of my tweets is all right.
That's good. Mike Huckabee, Huckabee deserves it, though.
So if you like me getting political, Twitter is your thing. Otherwise, follow me on Instagram. You can also find me on website at alialomi.com. Diz, how about you?
You can find me Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, all the shits at Dizbull, D-I-Z-B-U-L-L-A-H. I almost said at Currently Nerdy on there.
For everyone here at Currently Nerdy, thank you for tuning in. And remember, stay smart, sexy.
Nerds. And we love you as long as you don't talk about little 13-year-old boys hooking up with little 80-year-old men.